following audio is a podcast from Leader Breakthrough, an organization committed to coaching and resourcing the personal development of risk-taking kingdom leaders. For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.
Welcome to Leader Breakthrough and this edition of the Leader Breakthrough podcast. Good to have you today. I'm Terry Walling. And today, instead of Patrick Curry being in the podcast production time with me, I've invited my friend Dan Noel back for part two of our two-part series to better understand and actually, I think, unpack potentially how God is using this period of time in our journey with the coronavirus and what all of us are experiencing to, I think, take us to a new place in Him, as well as take us to a deeper place in Him. And so I've invited Dan to come in and kind of talk to us about that, and him and I interact around that, because Dan has actually experienced this trauma that so many people are going through. He didn't experience it quite to the depth that of people are experiencing with hospitalization and everything, but he's had the COVID virus, has actually been able to gain strength back from that. But I think it's good for us to actually not just talk about this thing in an antiseptic way, but talk about it in a real personal way, what it's been like to not only experience it, but what it's like to actually also journey through it in terms of God using it. So I kind of would like Dan to quickly, for those of you who didn't get into the first podcast, quickly introduce himself and then give us a kind of a real summary of what you've been through, how it happened, and kind of how you've been able to recover from the virus first before we start talking about a topic called spiritual authority. But first, Dan, just jump in, introduce, and give us a quick snapshot of the journey in these last few weeks.
Yeah. So my name is Dan, and great to be with you guys. I'm a pastor, lead pastor at Calvary Church in State College, Pennsylvania. For those of you who know anything about Penn State University, it's also often called Happy Valley. And I'm praying that in the years to come, it's more known as Hopeful Valley than Happy Valley.
We'll
see.
Hopeful
we'll see
Valley,
what God.
Beyond just we'll Happy what, Valley. I like
that's
it.
That's right.
I like it.
We'll see what God chooses to do with that. Yeah. I've been here at Calvary this coming month, May. It'll be 26 years.
Unbelievable.
It's been a great
way to go, bud.
26 ride. Years. And never thought that I would be here that long, but God has been gracious, and the ministry has been fun, you know, not without difficulties, but overall just a blessing. We're a multi-site church of about 1400 or 1500. We meet in 5 different locations, and God has been gracious. God has blessed. One of our sayings around here is God is worthy of our best. So what we do is an act of worship. God is worthy of our best, but He doesn't need it. And that's definitely one of the things that we're finding, you know, in the midst of this corona virus fog, is how much He doesn't need it. But it's been good.
Yeah. And part of that journey, Dan and I met. He attended a class and a whole cohort that I was teaching, and we got to know each other. First couple days with Dan, I thought, who is this guy just sitting there looking, observing? And then all of a sudden Dan started opening his mouth and started sharing some of the rich experiences and wisdom that he has. And yeah, I was hooked. And so I've been to Calvary Church. I not only enjoy Calvary Church in terms of getting fed there, but feel like even Rob and I are part of Calvary Church in terms of their whole passion to reach and have walks with Christ that actually start to passionately follow Christ back out into the community. It's one of the things I love about what's going on at Calvary Church and even the whole region there in central PA. But Dan contracted the coronavirus. And Dan, give us a quick kind of as hard as that was, kind of how that happened and also what it was like to transact that whole experience. Just kind of help our listeners get a quick summary of that, because it wasn't any fun. And it wasn't, Dan's experience is not like some that are really have acute cases of it, but Dan had to walk through it. So just kind of give us a little bit of a feel of what that was like.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, in mid-February, we were taking a missions trip to Myanmar, borders China, and we really, dug into that, prayed about it and talked to people, you know, should we go or should we cancel the trip? And we ended up going, got nothing there. But then in the beginning of March, I was doing some strategic planning for a missions organization in Haiti, ironically, a medical mission. And while I was there,
not in Haiti, but in Portland, right?
That's where in Portland, Oregon. It was they do missions work in Haiti.
Got it.
And while I was in Portland, Oregon, one of the people who was a part of that team was sick, and he was there for the first 2 days of the planning, strategic planning, but not there for the second. And I left there. My last day working was a Sunday, left on a Monday, got home and the last day planning was a Monday, left on a Tuesday and got home. And about 5 days later on Sunday, I came down with symptoms. Mm-hmm. And it was probably another 4 or 5 days after that I found out he sent an email saying he had tested positive for COVID. So that's where I got it. Got symptoms on March 8th, I guess. Mm-hmm. Found out March 15th that I tested positive, and then had another week of symptoms. So I had about 2 weeks of symptoms. And like Terry said, they classify any case that doesn't have to be hospitalized as mild. It was probably the sickest mild I've ever experienced.
Wow.
But right. Definitely not. I mean, the thing that I didn't have that gets people in the hospital is that, tight, burning, hard to breathe kind of sensation.
Respiratory, yeah.
The respiratory stuff. And so, I just kind of fought my way through the symptoms for a couple of weeks. The middle of it, a couple of days were the worst by far for me. Everybody seems to experience this differently, but I had a couple of days in the middle that, I don't know when the last time I was that sick other than getting my appendix out in the hospital. But made it through.
Yeah, yeah. And that journey in and through this thing impacted other people. So some staff were on quarantine. Yeah. And even Lynn, your wife, after you got free from symptoms, has had to be kind of almost self-quarantined and stuff. So it's impacted a lot of people around you. I know in our other podcast, you talked about really that being one of the hardest, knowing that what you have has impacted them. Is that right? Was that kind of one of the struggles?
I mean, one of my first thoughts was just, man, I hope I didn't give it to anybody else. And other than, if I gave it to my wife, we don't know because she hasn't been tested, but kind of assuming, but nobody else, on the worship teams or staff has gotten it at this point. And so I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you and I have talked about this a little bit. I just think it's pretty important for us to pause and not run past this moment, but understand even when this moment is occurring. Because as we sit and talk, we're at the beginning of Holy Week. We're on Tuesday of this whole week. I listened to the news today, and it said this week probably is going to be probably our toughest week in the United States because of the people we'll lose. So in some sense, death is all around us in terms of people losing people that they love and everything. And yet we find ourselves in Holy Week and the incredible experience Jesus had to go through with the death on the cross. I just think it's way too uncanny and way too ironic that particular coincidence is happening. But also it's the impact of what these events do, not just to us physically, but really how God even uses these moments to shape us spiritually. You know, he uses people, events, and circumstances to shape our life. And we are in an incredible time of circumstance and an incredible moment where the whole world is experiencing something together. And it brings up kind of a topic, Dan, that you and I have talked a lot about, and that's this concept of spiritual authority. Yeah. You know, there comes a point in time when individuals who want to live for Jesus come to the end of themselves.
Yeah.
There comes a point in time when all of a sudden we need to grapple with the fact that we can no longer keep doing this Christian experience primarily out of natural abilities. Yeah. It has to be sourced somewhere else. And if we're going to produce fruit that remains, it oftentimes is a net result of you and I going deeper with Jesus. Talk a little bit about, even when we were in the class, even when we were going through this, and even in these years since, you know, we had that experience and we first encountered spiritual authority, talk just briefly about what the whole idea of spiritual authority has been doing as it's kind of rumbled around inside your heart and your thought process. Not necessarily with the COVID, just overall. Yeah. Just give us a quick summary in terms of how you viewed spiritual authority and how you see it now. What comes to your mind with that?
Well, I can't help but at least start with, because it is such, I mean, for pastors, for everybody, but, you know, for pastors, the whole Holy Week, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, you know, Resurrection Sunday, my goodness, you know, we work on planning for this all year long. But the thought that occurred to me is never before have we given up so much for Lent. You know, before this, Lent was always kind of this give up chocolate and, you know, whatever. And I think more than any other time, we're experiencing a little bit deeper taste, a little bit deeper sense of what Jesus went through. And to go to spiritual authority, I don't think you can ever develop more spiritual authority without loss.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You know, in John 12, I just preached on for Palm Sunday, and Jesus, in the midst of his high point, and he's looking at his disciples and saying, unless a seed of wheat falls to the ground and dies and gets planted, you know, it won't bear fruit.
Doesn't bear fruit. Your
leadership has nothing to offer. And so I've been saying around Calvary, we're not on lockdown, we're getting planted, and the Bible is full of stories of people on lockdown getting planted and then bearing fruit.
It's unbelievable. But the concept is so not talked about.
Yeah.
Unless you dive back into the classics and you begin to realize stuff called Dark Night of the Soul, Dark Night of the Senses, you begin to hear of something that an author that has written a book, Critical Journey, Janet Hagberg, talks about the wall, where all of a sudden we've come to the end of ourselves.
You bet.
And we've been thinking, and you know, God has been gracious to use us earlier on in our life, but there comes a point in time where all of a sudden what we did before doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And he starts to create in us even a desperation for him that starts to unlock new rooms, or another way I've used it is dig deeper wells, because the water that we so desperately need has almost started to evaporate underneath our very feet and in our soul itself. And so one of the tools God uses, ironically enough, to actually build spiritual authority is something called deep processing.
Yeah.
And deep processing is dealing with the unexplained. Deep processing is confronting the uncertainty. Deep processing is going after those issues of control, but often using issues of pain, hurt, struggle, sometimes issues of conflict, physical issues, even some of the things that that we've counted on in people evaporating underneath us and
isolation
and isolation processing. How about that? He puts us into, and one of the key tools, right on the money, is this idea of actually puts us in a time of isolation where all of a sudden it's just him and us.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And I know you experienced some of this even before the COVID, even before this, you've been kind of going on a journey that's been building this into you over the last couple years of your journey.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how he's been deepening you and building this sense of greater spiritual authority into the journey a little bit? Yeah.
I mean, so for me, it, you know, it started that whatever it was, six or seven years ago when we were taking the classes and I was in the your DMIN class, doctor ministry class of leadership development. And I can still remember the week where you introduced this concept of spiritual authority. And, you know, I mean, the two words together, honestly, aren't that compelling.
Right.
But as you described what it was, there was just something that grabbed my heart. I mean, it was one of those times, even 6 or 7 years ago, where it was just like, where in the world did that emotion come from? And to go a little bit further back, I would say, like a lot of leaders, I've always been pretty driven.
Right.
My primary, breath prayer to God was, God, put me in the place where you can use me the best. And as I started kind of understanding spiritual authority, and we've used this as part of our leadership development now at Calvary, that we don't want that just positional authority is a push me authority. I'm going to push you to do what I want you to do. The leadership that comes from capacity or charisma is more of a, I'm going to pull you along. You want to follow me because you like what I'm doing or who I am.
Right.
But that spiritual authority is more of a dance, that you almost can't tell who's leading when it's with people or even in a sense with God, that the way he uses us in that process, it's more of a dance than a push or a pull. And so that concept, and again, for a lot of pastors out there, please hear us. When I say spiritual authority, I'm not saying the authority that you have because you're a pastor. That's not spiritual authority.
Right.
That's positional
That's
authority.
Positional authority. Yeah.
Spiritual authority is just like Terry has said, we go deeper with God in our brokenness and surrender so that we just smell like Jesus. And, when you're broken and surrendered, it's not because you smell good. It's just Jesus is saying, I'm going to let people
see me
in you,
His
fragrance. And so, for me, when you're talking about the stuff before COVID, there was a 5 or 6 year journey that included, a dark night of the soul and having spiritual direction through that and included a significant time of feeling like I was in transition. And it ended up being for me more of an internal transition than an external.
Right.
Thought it was external at first. And so went through a lot of stuff, with that. But really the internal transition that really got me in kind of a different groove was getting to a place where that prayer, instead of being God, put me in the place where you can use me the best, it became God, put me in the place where you can love me the best. Yeah. And just that, that journey of trying to figure out what it looks like for a high D achiever to just rest in the love of God and to keep working on surrender and giving up control and stuff like that. That's been the journey. And I think every point where it's deepened, there's been something to surrender.
Yep.
Or there's been a moment of saying, I'm not gonna rely upon my capacities. It's gotta be you or moments of vulnerability. I mean, those are honestly for me and, for anybody out there, if you haven't downloaded this off of Leader Breakthrough, the gold for me and throughout that process, because it's just so easy to understand, hard to do, but easy to understand is the postures of spiritual authority. And for me, the three that have impacted me the most is the posture of surrender, just continuously answering the question, who's in charge? The posture of brokenness, which is, you know, continuously saying, what am I going to rely on, my capacities, or just this desperate dependency on God? And then the posture of vulnerability, yeah, being open and honest with people about your own struggles and where you're at. And you know, all three of those together have been, you know, for me, a part of that journey, and really have been a part of this kind of COVID journey as well.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I say and tell people is you don't wake up in the morning and go, I think I'll take the spiritual authority class, you know, or yeah, I think I'll take the 101 how to get a greater power in my life. I think that's when men are contriving.
Yeah.
What you do is you go through moments in your life, and the byproduct of those postures, the byproduct of brokenness, the byproduct of surrender is a fragrance on your life and a power and influence coming through your life that has nothing to do with you and everything to do with Him. And so spiritual authority is actually the byproduct of responding in moments of surrender, in moments of alignment. And that byproduct actually creates inside of us what I think John 15 is talking about. We have chosen to abide with Him, and now the fruit of our life remains. It builds the kingdom, not just the expression that I'm working with, i.e. ministry or church. It extends to other people more of who Jesus is, as opposed to just us in some sense performing and trying to impress them with Jesus.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the first thing that hit me way back in those classes, as I look back, I don't think I recognized it then, but, you know, is just that you have to get hungry. God even has to place that hunger in you, a hunger for Him,
and
it's not like you're saying, it's not I'm hungry to be more effective in leadership, so okay, I'll practice surrender.
Right,
I mean, that just, that'll take you a certain ways. I think that's good. But ultimately the hunger to just be with Him. I remember, I think in one of my papers, and I'm sure I didn't come up with this on my own, but I don't remember who I got it from, but just that picture between Moses and Joshua. Moses is my biblical mentor, but the picture between Moses and Joshua, where, you know, Moses would always go into the tent and the glory of God would come down and he'd speak face to face. And it, you know, it says in Exodus, I think 33, that Joshua was with him. And then there's just this little vignette, you know, where it says that Moses left the tent, but Joshua lingered behind. And it just, you know, I mean, what's going through his mind other than, I want what he has.
Exactly.
You know, I don't want the byproducts. I don't want to just serve somebody who knows Jesus, who knows God. I want what he has. And so he lingered in the tent of meeting, and everybody else is too afraid. You know, they're off doing their own thing, but Joshua lingered in the tent.
Incredible word picture. Yeah. And incredible actual thing we can apply. It's the lingering. Mm. It's the hunger. Yeah. It's the desire. Yeah. It's the, you know, it's the right now for all of us. It's the be still and know.
Yeah.
Really know. Be still and know as we're in between. Be still and know that I'm your God. Be still and know that I'm God. That whole taking our journey to a new level sometimes is ignited by events and circumstances. But when we get there, it's not running away, wanting to solve it, wanting to figure out what's next. It's staying put and allowing Him to do that deeper work. I am sure, as you laid there, because I know you, you're an optimist, and you probably didn't have, you know, deep thoughts about the ending of your life. I'm sure it crossed your mind, but I am sure that's some of the things He was doing inside of you like you said in the other podcast, you said, you know, it's God giving you a taste of who he was.
Yeah. Taste his heart for us, for the world. You know, I just, his arms stretch wide. I mean, even as we go to Good Friday, you know, I still have this image of the Father with his arms open wide, whispering, "Child, come home." But then you also have this, you know, wrapped within the arms of the Father, the arms of Jesus stretched wide to say, "This is how much I love you." You know, quit striving.
Be still.
Rest in my love. Be still. Yeah.
Yeah, and know that I'm God. So counter Western. So you know. So
counter world.
Counter world. Counter humanity. Counter man. That those moments, and I think about, you know, the early disciples watching Jesus walk through this week, watching him surrender, watching even his battle of, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, you know, but I'm going to do it, Father, the way you and I have agreed it must be done. And that brokenness and the broken cisterns then showing forth really the light to the world. You know, Dan, as you think about, not only your own personal journey, but you think about the journey of us as a church. If you were going to kind of put at least an initial thought to it, what do you think God's at work doing in all of us? We chose this topic of spiritual authority because I think individually, for those leaders and passionate Christ followers who listen to this, God wants you to go deeper. He wants to use this time when you're actually on forced Sabbath to actually take you to a new place with him. But where do you think he's taking us? Or what's an initial thought as we kind of start bringing this to a close that he's doing or saying to us, his church? Any final thoughts related to that?
Well, you know, not to be facetious, but if I knew the answer, I mean, that's $1 million question. I knew the answer to that, I'd do a webinar like everybody else and put it out there. Here's where we're headed. But I really think, you know, I feel like I can see three or four things, really good things that God is doing. But I know that there's 10,000 other things I have absolutely no clue that are amazing that he's doing. But as I look, I guess I feel in my spirit one caution, and well, I'll say two cautions. One caution is that we need to be careful that we don't get looped into thinking that what God is doing is the things that I've always wanted him to do. You know, so whatever my version of church, God is obviously doing this to bring about my version of, you know, my best version of church.
It'll finally happen. Right.
Yeah. So I just think we need to let God do what he's going to do. That's part of it. I think a second caution is that let's not forget that we have an amazing capacity to return to normal, and we need to be intentional about not returning to normal in the areas where God wants to make a change. But I guess, you know, one of the things for me that I think God is less concerned about how we gather. I think, you know, after this is lifted, there's going to be some places where there's amazing energy for people to gather. There's going to be other places and people who are hesitant to gather.
Right.
Some are going to still gather in house churches and some in medium and some in something totally different.
Right.
We're not going to lose. I don't think we're going to lose all of the digital footprint. I mean, that's here to stay in a bigger way.
Yep.
I'm not sure that God is so concerned about how we gather. I think he's more concerned about how we scatter. And I think the thing that above, you know, anything when it comes to the church corporately, I mean, individually, I'm just praying and hoping that people in the church go deeper with God, that people who are don't know God come into the kingdom. But for the church corporately, I think that mission that each one of us has outside the four walls, I mean, there's no programs going on inside the four walls.
Right.
So if you want to serve, you have to do it in your community. Yeah. You have to do it in your neighborhood. You have to love your neighbor, pastor your neighborhood, you know, dive into your front yard mission. And that's all we got. And so that's what I hope we don't lose. I hope that coming out of this in the years to come, there's just a renewed, you know, in Baptist churches, we always talk about the priesthood of all the believers. I hope we grab on to the missionary call of every believer.
Absolutely.
And that's part of what, you know, so individuals going deeper, hungry, the spiritual authority, you know, I think he's isolating. So for deep processing a generation, worldwide generation of leaders. But I pray that the church, you know, this focus on prayer and loving your neighbors, personal responsibility for my neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's what I see him doing. And that's what I hope never goes back to what has been normal for so many of us in the church.
You know, I close with that story in John 20, Do You Love Me, with Peter. And I think sometimes we forget that the beginning of that story was Peter and the boys going fishing.
And
I think when Jesus looks Peter in the eyes and says later on to him in that day, do you love me? I think what Jesus was really saying to Peter is, do you love me? I.e., Peter, are you going to trust me for what's next? Or are you going to go back to what has been? Are you going to put your confidence in the things that you can do or your faith in the things that I'm going to do? And I think that's the call to all of us right now. And in the days ahead, it is going to require a source and a strength beyond what we can produce. Jesus, when he started with the disciples, he said, come be with me, then go minister for me. So in other words, don't just sit, you know, worshiping me, but worship with your lives. And then it's interesting, it says in Mark 3, and you'll have the authority to drive out demons. The only way you'll be able to do the things that you know you can't do is for him to do it through us. And that source is a new source of authority that you and I have. Well, Dan, thanks. It's been great to not just connect and be together, but it's been great to see what God's done to kind of take you through this period of time. Glad you're back on your feet.
Yeah. But
we do pray for all of those who are struggling with this right now, and all those who have family members or leaders or people that they know that aren't doing well. And we pray that in the days ahead, healing would come to their bodies too. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Leader Breakthrough Podcast. Pray everybody out there will stay safe and well as we continue to journey.
For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.